And our fifth case this morning is case number 102366, Victor Watkins versus James Nielsen. Ms. Leahy.
May it please the court, counsel, I represent Victor Watkins. I am asking this court to give Victor Watkins one last chance in this case. Victor Watkins was incarcerated in the Lawrence Correctional Center in 2008. He had suffered from schizophrenic symptoms, advised that he had heard voices telling him to hurt himself and his cellmate. As a result of that, he was placed in segregation and treated by the defendant, Dr. Nielsen. He claims that he advised Dr. Nielsen that a certain drug, Zyprexa, worked in alleviating his symptoms. He was not given that drug for 6 months. And as he described his experience in segregation, hearing the voices was hell. We're here because, fortunately or unfortunately, Mr. Watkins was released from the Illinois Department of Corrections in February of 2009. I had been appointed to represent him in August of 2008. After he was released from prison, before he was, he gave me addresses. I sent all mail to those addresses. Initially, they came back. I had intermittent contact with him by phone. He gave me additional addresses. I ended up with, I believe, three addresses, and the mail did not come back from those addresses.
That only lasted 2 months, though, didn't it?
Pardon me?
You were only out of contact with him for 2 months, as I understand it.
Well, Your Honor, he would be in contact with me, and then there would be no response. I mean, it was a very sporadic.
One of the questions I'd like to ask here is, how did you attempt to assist him with his discovery? What did you do specifically to help him?
All right. When we received the order regarding answering the discovery was sent.
Interrogatories, for example, are very, very inadequate, but I don't think you even looked at them before they were submitted, did you?
Yes, I did, Your Honor, and they were submitted to him. He failed to respond in any way to me, not by phone, not by letter, no contact whatsoever. Then the magistrate judge ordered that he respond. Again, that was mailed to him. No contact. He sends me back those answers, I believe, almost like the day before they were due to the other side. And quite frankly, Your Honor,
this is kind of an appeal by an allegedly psychotic individual obviously presents some very serious problems. If it's undertaken at all, and I don't know what the answer to the problems is, but one of them is that I would assume he needs some extraordinary assistance in meeting his discovery obligations.
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, it's a little unrealistic to think that he's going to do a very good job all on his own.
But the other,
assuming he's psychotic, of course.
The other part of this is, Your Honor, this case, his case, does not rest on those answers to interrogatories. He has absolutely no documents. The case depends on medical records prior to his incarceration, what he was treated with, whether that did alleviate his symptoms, and whether or not he was given that drug while in segregation in the Department of Corrections.
Did you try to retrieve those records?
Yes, Your Honor, and I offered to share with counsel what I had been able to obtain. And at the same time,
share with counsel? Who? You offered to share with counsel?
Yes, for Dr. Nielsen.
Okay.
But at the same time the interrogatories were served, the consents so that the defendant could obtain Mr. Watkins' records from the Chicago hospitals. Those were sent to him. He did sign those consents, and I forwarded them to his to Dr. Nielsen's counsel.
So it was up to the other side to retrieve his records?
They had asked that Mr. Watkins sign so that they could do so.
Did you ever get to see those records, or did you know what was in them?
I have obtained some records that I offered to exchange.
You had those?
I have some records of his treatment prior to his incarceration.
Was that submitted to the other side as part of the discovery?
Your Honor, I offered to exchange them, and I put that in some of these motions. He sent me consents, and as I understood it, he wanted to obtain those records for himself. But I did offer to exchange what records I had.
The interrogatories he submitted, of course, that's the obvious error, in that they're incoherent, and apparently you got them the day before they were due, and you didn't fix them up or do something. Like maybe you couldn't find him, I don't know, but whatever it was.
It was very sporadic, Your Honor. After the order was sent out to him, and I again sent him the interrogatories, if I remember correctly, there was no contact from Mr. Watkins whatsoever. But at the time of the final pretrial hearing, I did have the cooperation of Mr. Watkins, advised the magistrate judge of that.
Of what? All the problems of being in touch with him and need more time?
Absolutely. It was in motions that I had filed. Shortly after the final pretrial conference, I asked for an extension of 3 months because for the first time I felt I really had the cooperation of my client. I believed he was on his meds and that he was able to cooperate with me.
I mean, Judge Herndon, when he got this case of an allegedly psychotic plaintiff, I guess one of his approaches was to appoint you, a highly experienced trial lawyer in this area, to represent him, and possibly that would resolve the problems. But at least so far, it doesn't seem to have. And I was just wondering what your diagnosis of how to proceed with a case like this might be.
Well, Your Honor, I realize that it was... All I can say is I deeply regret that he was released from corrections. I don't think I'd have this problem if that had not happened. However, he'd served his time and had the right to be released. I even hired a private investigator, Your Honor, to find Mr. Watkins. And through that, I was able to locate him, get the three addresses that mail did not come back from. But I never had a phone number with which to reach him. I think that lasted. I had a phone number for something like a month, and then that phone number was no longer good.
Obviously an extraordinarily challenging client, and these appointments are always challenging, but this one more so because of his particular circumstances. And as I understand your argument, it's that the dismissal sanction for his sort of going dark for long periods of time was disproportionate. Is that basically your argument?
That's right, Your Honor. And I'm asking for one last chance for Mr. Watkins.
Thank you. Mr. Bean.
May it please the Court, Kenneth Bean for Defendant Dr. Nielsen. This is an abuse of discretion standard. As the Court has said several times in this Court, if the finding is that no single person can support the decision of the district judge, then that's an abuse of discretion. And we do, this Court, as other courts do, give broad discretion to the trial judges who are controlling a heavy docket to manage their discovery issues. As I understand the argument, there's three issues here. The first issue is that because of this psychiatric condition, her client should be excused from answering discovery, her client should be excused from appearing for court, her client should be excused for ignoring two court orders. My first point is there is no medical affidavit that says, in fact, he does have a psychiatric illness that would prevent him from understanding his lawyer or understanding court orders. Secondly, I point out that the first time the issue of his alleged inability to cooperate with his counsel in court because of his psychiatric illness was not raised until after Magistrate Judge Frazier dismissed the action in response to my second motion.
Do you think Ms. Leahy is an unusually qualified attorney to represent someone in a case of this sort? Because I think Judge Herndon perceived it as being a very difficult case, isn't that? Misinformed about that? Or?
No, I think Ms. Leahy's done her best job at trying to find and keep in touch with her client. I would point out that while in prison with this alleged psychiatric illness, her brief does say he called her twice a week. Hence her comment that perhaps when he left the hospital, left the prison, he had less time to call her. I don't accept that. If he has a psychiatric illness while my client is supposedly mistreating him in the hospital but can call twice, when he gets out, presumably he has better care, or if there's an excuse, then that excuse should have been brought to the magistrate. There were discussions with the magistrate, and Magistrate Frazier did reject the argument and found there was no evidence to support the claim that his psychiatric illness affected his ability. The second argument I hear is that her answers to interrogatories weren't needed for her case. Well, that ignores the fact that they are needed for my case. As the court notes, they're handwritten, they were unsigned by counsel, they were unsigned by Mr. Watkins, they were not verified. And when he lists his hospitals, he lists three names. One is St. Joseph's. My guess is there are several St. Joseph's hospitals in the state of Illinois, let alone Missouri. No addresses were provided. He said he'd been in the hospital 15 times since discharge. No information about that. Clearly, to put the burden on the defense to figure out where he'd been treated so we could compare and contrast treatment and drug choices is not appropriate and was clearly rejected by the court. In terms of the level of the sanction, this court has held in several cases that the level of the sanction is up to the trial judge. Judge Herndon and Judge Frazier did find repeated violations. Judge Frazier had warned plaintiff in his prior order with the capital letters warned that failure to cooperate would result in a further sanction. Judge Frazier did found a persistent nature of the problem suggests an element of willfulness. Judge Herndon found that the magistrate was in the best position to evaluate the discovery and stated that the plaintiff violated the court orders willfully. As this court has noted in the R.L. Lamp case, district courts are encouraged to evaluate for willfulness, but that is not required before a dismissal with prejudice. The Patterson court rejected similar arguments about you should have given me a lesser sanction. The courts have said he's not entitled to a warning shot across the bow, although in this case there was a warning shot. Judge Frazier did issue that. The final argument I thought I heard was the answers to interrogatories, so I've covered that. The bottom line is, unfortunately, Mr. Watkins strung along both his lawyer, the defendant, the magistrate, and the district court. There is no evidence that he has a psychiatric illness that would excuse any of this. Judge Herndon did find a willful violation. Failure to file and sign answers to interrogatories and pleadings has been held by this court in Patterson and R.L. Lamp to warrant, as part of a sanction, a dismissal with prejudice. He had a warning. We urge the court to accept the recommendation.
I thought when he was in prison, he was diagnosed as having a mental illness. Is that correct or not?
He claims that. I do, in fact, have the records from the prison system. Those records do contain portions, third and fourth generation photocopies, of some hospital records from Chicago. And we could debate the merits of the claim and what medications Dr. Nielsen did provide while he was in the hospital, while he was in the prison. But irrespective of whether he has a mental disease or not, that has not been presented to the magistrate or to the district court or even to this court as an excuse with a medical affidavit or some medical record. Unless there's further questions, I'll end.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Leahy, you've got 2 minutes.
Dr. Nielsen did treat Mr. Watkins for psychiatric problems when he was in segregation for those 6 months. But not until the end of the 6 months did he prescribe the Zyprexa, which is the drug that Mr. Watkins had explained had helped him in the past. If Mr. Watkins had been incarcerated, had had a claim such as this, a medical or lack of medical treatment or improper medical treatment, and he did not have that element of the mental illness, we would not be here. If he had gone out, released from prison, had gone out and not cooperated. But that other element is the element that makes this case so very difficult.
What is the evidence that he had a mental illness? Your opponent says there wasn't any evidence, as I understand.
Well, Dr. Nielsen treated him with drugs while he was incarcerated, and that was related to his symptoms, and the symptoms were mental. So, again, I would ask that you give Mr. Watkins one last chance. Thank you.
Thank you. And our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Ms. Leahy, thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client and the court. Our next case this morning is case number 0941.